In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the sixth Sunday of the Holy 50 Joyful Days, and we read during the 50 days every Sunday from the Book of John. And today we read about the preparation for receiving the Holy Spirit, because as you know, next Sunday is the last Sunday of the Joyful 50 Days, and we celebrate the prayer of worship that will be after the liturgy around 2 o'clock, inshallah. And in the book of John, all the discussion about the divinity of God. As you know, the book of John was written in the 90s, in the first century of Christianity, meaning after all the Gospels and the epistles were written, Saint John was familiar with what was written, and he found that there were many things that were not mentioned in the previous Bibles. So he spoke more about the divinity of God. And today we prepare ourselves to receive the Holy Spirit. And there is one verse in the book of John in chapter 16, verse number 32, that says, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone because the Father is with me." If you read it carefully and reflect on this verse, God is asking us to make a decision here, a choice that you have to make today. Would you be with me or would you leave me? Many times we make difficult decisions in our life, and I thought to share with you the meaning of making a choice. The choice that could be the difference between eternal life and everlasting punishment. And if you remember from the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 30, verses 15 to 19, I will just read a couple of verses here for you. When Moses said to the Israelites, which is a message to all of us today, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." He is asking us to make a choice here, and the choice he is giving us also, the right choice. He says, choose life. Decision is yours today that you make that right choice. Would you choose life over death and evil, or would you leave God? Many choices every day can affect our life, because remember that God created us to be like free moral agents, meaning we have free will. You have the choice. God would never force himself on you. And when you have the freedom, that means you have a responsibility. With free will comes responsibility, because you will be asked about every decision and every action that you make, every step and every word that you say. That's how God will judge us. It will not be an excuse for us, it will be a judgment for us to have free will. And these decisions and the choices that we make could affect your life completely. It could affect your life to be always continuing living with God or far away from God, to be a godly person or like a community person who does not know God in any way. And the older we get, the more mature choices that we make. I was reading an article about older decisions, and there was something a little funny in it that says, for the older person, you bend over to pick something up and wonder if there is anything else you can get while you are down there, because you don't want to go back again and bend yourself. Your knees buckle, but your belt won't. Your back goes out more than you do. What he meant from this nice article, that when we get older, we have to make the wise decisions. We have to be careful about what we say and what we do. As long as it is godly, this is the way it should be, because you know that it is protected and supported by the grace of God. So let me share with you a few choices, good choices and bad choices, that I hope we can learn from. For example, we can choose the name that we ought to have, and we must know what kind of name we have. From where we got that? From the book of Proverbs in chapter 22 and verse 1. There is a verse that says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. So what kind of name is it? The name John or James? No, absolutely not. The name that we ought to have is love, humility, meekness, kindness, prayer, fasting. For example, you know that San Bersum el-Aryan, Bersum means the son of fasting. You know that Baba Kurulus said this, he is known to be the man of prayer. So the name prayer attached to him, the name fasting attached to Lamba Bersum, the name of kindness or meekness or humbleness attached to Lamba Ruiz, and so on and so forth. So what kind of name would you select? We also make the choice of the people we associate ourselves with. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, verses 24 to 25, it says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Would you choose people from the church who come to church, pray and do tesbihah, and fast and take communion and confess? Or would you choose friends from outside who can lead you far away from God? And all what they do at the time of prayer, Saturday nights or Sunday morning, they are either having a party or a wine drinking celebration or activity in the morning for a sport. They always select it on Sunday morning. So what would be your choice in a case like that? We also sometimes choose whether to know God as He taught us the right teaching and the right commandments, or as we want to interpret His teaching our way that can match our pleasure life. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 16, verse 13, the Lord was asking all of us, as I spoke during the Passion Week, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? The Son of Man is very important here, meaning on behalf of man. Look at me, at what I did. Would you follow me and my footsteps? Would you follow the suffering I did, the teaching I did, the fasting I did when I fasted 40 days, the crucifixion I went to the cross to save you? Can you follow my footsteps, or would you choose somebody else? We also do a right choice when we select the people whom we serve. Please listen to this from the book of Joshua in chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua said, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom will you serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make the choice, would you serve me, the God, or would you serve the gods of the other nations? And these gods could be the money, the lust, the joy outside that is not godly. There is a godly joy and there is non-godly joy. Don't think that people of God are not joyful. The fruits of the Holy Spirit, the first three fruits of the Holy Spirit are love, joy, and peace. So joy is one of the fruits of the Christian people. Those who do not have joy in their heart, they do not know God. They are looking at God in a difficult way, in a wrong way. Also, St. Paul teaches us that we should choose to be instruments of righteousness rather than being like an ornament of emptiness. For example, in the book of Romans in chapter 6, in verses 6 to 14, he said, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also, please listen to this important commandment, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What is the difference between instrument and ornament? Ornament is something that you hang and you see. You enjoy from afar. Instrument is a tool that you must use. It has a reason. It has a purpose in life. You don't go buy a tool for no reason to hang it somewhere on a tree to enjoy looking at it. A tool is something that you use. It has a purpose. It has a very important purpose in life. And for you to be an instrument, like what St. Paul said, instrument of righteousness, it means God has a reason for your presence here in life. God did not create you for no reason to let you just suffer. It means you are a tool in my hand that I want you to spread my word and preach my name, glorify my name everywhere you go. Can we make bad choices? Of course we can. And let me give you an example from the book of Genesis in chapter 13. Remember the story of Lot when some problem happened between the herdsmen of Abraham and Lot. So what happened? Abraham, the elder person, said, okay, Lot, let me do this. Let's separate and we can reconcile the differences between us. You select. The older man is asking the younger man to make the selection. You select where you go. And wherever you go, if you go east, I will go west. If you go north, I will go east. And here is what happened. Here is the wrong choices that happened. Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself, all of the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched this his tent even as far as Sodom. Any problem here? Let's listen to the last verse. It says, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Remember that Lot was living with Abraham, and he knows that Abraham was selected by God. His name was Abraham before Abraham. Abraham, the name came later on when God blessed him. So he was living with Abraham and supposed to be living in a godly family. Why would you leave the godly family? Why don't you sit and reconcile the differences? So here's what happened. Let's analyze this one. Three things. Number one, lots of choice involved sight. Sight. He chose the land that looked best to him. He never considered his godly uncle. He only considered himself. He never consulted God in prayer. He just practiced his human nature, his way, not God's way. So what would be the humanism way or the human nature way? It could be the atheism, could be the evolution, could be amorality, meaning those who believe in nothing right nor wrong, there is no absolutes. The man controls his or her own destiny and need for one world government. That's humanism. That's not Christian way. Lot practiced humanism. He practiced the community way that's far away from God. That's number one. Number two, lots of choice invited sin. It was always, and you know for sure, that it is very dangerous to leave God out of your choice. Sinners do not need a second chance. They need a Savior. They need God to guide them. We pray and ask God, if this is your will, let it be. If not, please don't let it happen. And I will not be sad if it didn't happen. Lot did not intend to backslide into deep, dark sin. It just happened gradually, which means for us we must be careful. When you look at something, make sure that it is the right one through your prayer, consulting with your father of confession, and making sure that it is the right choice. And when you pray, if it didn't happen, thank you, God. It didn't happen, because it could have been worse. So now maybe you feel bad if something did not happen, but when you pray and you trust in God and His true love for you, you will never be sad if something did not happen. Also remember, it began when Lot left God out of the choice. Then Lot did something else. He lifted up his eyes and he chose the plain of Jordan and separated himself from his godly family, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Maybe somebody look at this and says, there is nothing wrong here. I say yes, but here is the problem that I said it and I repeat it again. The men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Would you know that you go somewhere, it is all sinful, and go and live? Would you go to live and buy a house in an area that you hear it is all crimes? Would you really do it right here and now? Don't you truthfully and honestly, before you buy a house, you ask and you check, is this area safe? The school system is good? You ask. You always ask. If you don't ask, I would disagree completely. I will completely disagree. I'm starting my 29th year here in America, and I know that we all ask about the area where we will live because we care about safety and the safety of our children and the education of our children. So you do ask how good this area is before you move in, before you buy a house, before you send your children to schools in this area. So now, how about this bad company? How would you know that it is a wicked area and you still go to it? I would not trust myself to go for an area like that, no matter how good you are. Remember what St. Peter said in his second epistle in chapter 2 and verse 8. He's speaking about Lot, and he said, Lot, that righteous man dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Seeing and hearing. So don't tell me if you see something bad in a bad area, it will not stumble you. I'm sorry to tell you, I will not believe it. Don't tell me that you hear bad songs and it will not stumble you. Again, I do not believe it. Do not watch movies that has bad language and kids come and say, it happens everywhere, even in schools. It doesn't mean we accept it, it doesn't mean I go to it. That's the big difference. The difference between the men of God and the people outside is we are careful about what we see and what we hear. The third and last point, that Lot's choice included sorrow. He lost many souls. Remember when God came, spoke to Abraham, told him about destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, he went to check if there anyone would listen to God. And he started by 50, then 40, 30, 20, down to 10. Not even 10 good people who would accept God to be the Lord and Savior. No one did. Sadly, they did not. They heard all the teaching. Same happened during the time of Noah. When he built the ark, he spent 100 years. And as I talked in the Arabic Bible study, they made such a big, huge ark. They needed this big pieces of wood and lots of material. They must have used people around to buy the materials and to help in the building. Noah, as an old man, has three only children, his three sons. I don't think he would be able to make the whole ark. He must have used those people. Do you think they did not ask, why are you building this one? They must have. And Noah must have taught them and tried to teach, but they did not listen. They chose not to believe in God. And then the day came when they entered the ark, they closed the ark, and it rained all over and destroyed every creation, even animals. Everyone died at that time. Our choice could include sorrow. For example, remember what happened to Lot, and he lost his decency when he offered his own daughters to the homosexual men of Sodom. It's written in the book of Genesis chapter 19 and verse 8. He also lost his testimony. His own sons-in-law mocked him when he wanted to teach them and tell them not to do it. Also, Lot lost his family. His wife came out of Sodom, but Sodom was still in her. And later on, his own daughters get him drunk and lay with him, bearing two enemies of Israel, Moab, who was the father of the Moabites, and Ben-Ami is the father of Ammonites. Two were wicked people, and they were always enemies to the people of God. The sons of sin will always live in sin. Watch out for all of this. In conclusion, please remember that we can make the good choice of being with God and staying with Him and never leave Him alone, or we can choose not to be with God and suffer the consequences, which will be the everlasting fire. We can choose to live in peace, or we can choose not to live in peace. And remember what the psalmist in Psalm 34:14 says, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." We can choose to be happy at home, or we can choose to be unhappy. We can choose to make our family sad because we are busy for ourselves, making excuses of work and TV and leaving our family behind. We can choose to make our house to be the little church, or we can make it to be the place for anything else that will come from TV or from the internet. We can choose to make our house to be the altar of God, where we all pray and we all read the gospel and we all interpret the gospel and sit together and talk about God. Or we can let somebody else come to teach our kids. I can select to be the real father or the real mother, or I can let the TV to be the father or the refrigerator to be the mother. That's how we feed our kids. That's my choice that God will ask me to give an account for. So the question for you today, what is your choice? Do you love the world or do you love the word of God? Do you want to hear it and live it according to His commandments, or do you want to trust the people outside? Do you believe in God and His church and His priesthood, or do you believe in what you believe only, your personal beliefs, your small little knowledge that will prevail over your thought? Which one is your choice? Is it God and all His teaching, or it is the world outside and all His teaching? I wish and pray that you trust in God and you choose Him and His Bible and His teaching, and glory be to Him now and forever and ever. Amen.